Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I would like for this to be a happier occasion, but you're saying things that need to be said that we are not hearing otherwise. Bill Russell?
Well, I want to get to what we can do about this, because this sounds very bleak, but I don't want to leave this without another subject, which is, I think, more important than, again, I had realized, which is the notion of factory farms. I had assumed one of the wonderful things about America was that the price of food was the price of food because factory farms made food cheap, and for all it has destroyed family farms, and some of their methods were not ideal, that at least there was lots of food because of these factory farms. And I had assumed that the reason that there were factory farms and not farm farms is because they were so much more efficient than the average family farm used to be. And yet you say that's not necessarily the case.
No.
On any count.
Right. I mean, in fact, they like all corporations, they're externalizing machines, and they've been more clever than family farmers about figuring out ways to make the public to pay their cost of production. The price of food is not as cheap as we think it is at the groceries, because we're paying for that food with diminished quality of life, with polluted waters, and with the loss, ultimately the erosion of our democracy. Factory farming, I mean, if you take pork farming, there's a transformation today going on in the American landscapes that most Americans who are now urban are not aware of, but large corporations are coming in, shattering rural communities, destroying rural communities, driving farmers off the land, and we are driving the final nail into the coffin of Thomas Jefferson's vision of an American democracy rooted in tens of thousands of freeholds by family farmers across our country. And I'll give you an example of that in the state of North Carolina, where factory pork farming was invented. 15 years ago, there were 27,500 independent hog farmers in the state. Today, there's almost none. They've been completely replaced by 2,200 factories, 1,600 owned by one corporation, Smithfield Foods. And the Raleigh News and Observer did a article, or a series of articles, for which they won the Pulitzer Prize, which showed how the industry had corrupted public officials in the state and steamrolled democracy and bullied local communities in order to make room for its criminal practices. This is an industry that cannot make money without breaking the law. The reason for that is they produce so much waste that if they had to dispose of it legally, they could not compete in the open marketplace. A hog produces 10 times the amount of waste as a human being, and some of these factories have 50,000 hogs in them. Well, that facility is producing as much waste as a city of 500,000 people. Well, of course, a city would have to treat its waste before it disposes of it, do sewage treatment. And of course, a factory farm does too under the Clean Water Act. But if they did that, it would add about $1.25 to the price of every pound of pork at kill weight, and they could never compete against the family farmer. So they have to break the law in order to survive in the marketplace. And their business plan contemplates them being able to corrupt public officials to allow them to break the law. And that's what they're doing all over the country. One of these facilities, Smithfield's Circle 4 Ranch in Utah, has 850,000 animals. It produces more waste every day than all the people in New York City combined. What do? The traditional family farmer would take his waste, you know, the manure from the pigs, and he'd spread it on his fields, and he'd grow corn, which he'd then feed to his animals, and there was a rough balance there. But he had 300 or 400 sows on his land. If you put 50,000 animals on that same section of land, you're producing far more waste than the corn can assimilate. And what's going to happen to the excess waste if you dump it on the ground? Well, it's going to end up in the air, the groundwater, or the water. It has to. It's a scientific law. It's not going to...
It goes somewhere.
It's going to go
somewhere.
Conservation of matter.
That's right. Now, the traditional family farmer was exempt from the environmental laws because if you were spreading your manure as fertilizer, it was not classified as waste. And so it wasn't a waste product. It was a beneficial product that was growing corn. But when you spread more manure than you need, it's now a waste product. and you're getting rid of it. And one of the, and you know, if you've got 50,000 animals, you're producing all that waste. In fact, when they spread it, there's so much waste that they spread it in North Carolina, and the Bermuda grass that grows on those fields, if it's eaten by the cows will die because it's so contaminated with nitrogen. Well, we sued the industry, and we got a very, very good judgment from a conservative Republican judge in North Carolina, in which he said, this is not agriculture, this is industry, and this is an industrial waste product. They are not growing anything on the fields. They are simply disposing of their waste and dumping it on the fields. That's a violation of the Clean Water Act, and it's the violation of the Resource Conservation Recovery Act, which prohibits the discharge of waste onto soil. And but immediately, the industry went had a meeting inside the White House with this character called John Graham, who's now the most secretive and powerful agency head in the federal government. And he rewrote the Clean Water Act with these hog farmers. He wrote Clean Water Act permits that will allow them to discharge unlimited amounts of waste forever. And that's what we're dealing with this administration. Every time we win a lawsuit, the industry goes into the White House and fixes the law. Rather than fix the problem, the White House will fix the law so that they don't have to comply with it anymore.
I had thought that this was a problem of smelly waste, but you ran through a list of chemicals and that both go into the groundwater, but also go into the air and bacteria and other things
and new diseases.
That was scary.
Well, there's one creature that's been released by this industry in North Carolina called Fisteria piscidea, which now infects many of the waterways of North Carolina, particularly the Neuse River. And I've seen the impacts on, you know, not only fish. If you catch fish, menhaden in the Neuse, virtually every menhaden now has these, you know, their bodies covered with these pustulating lesions. Fishermen who go in the water come out with open sores that will never heal. They get severe and permanent respiratory damage and also brain injury from swimming in the water. And we've done interviews with fishermen who literally can no longer practice their trades because their brains are so permanently damaged from breathing the toxic that's given off by this fisteria.
And that comes from the hog farms?
It comes from the nutrients from the hog farms have triggered the growth of this creature that was previously unknown to science. People call it the cell from hell because it's this ingenious little amoeba-like organism that in some cases it's a phytoplankton, which means it's a plant, but it can morph when it chooses or when the conditions are right into a predatory animal that has a long snout, which it injects. It punctures a fish's flesh or a human's flesh, injects a toxin that liquefies the flesh of the animal, and then it sucks it out through this proboscis, and it can strip the flesh off a fish in a very, very short time. And it makes the fish also, it paralyzes them, and something in that toxin also impacts human beings.
I have to say, I read a lot of books, but Crimes Against Nature was one of the... it was a challenge to read it because there's so much bad news in it. Tell me where we find the good news in some of these stories. The fact that you're talking about it is already good news. But how do we stop these things?
Well, you know, the most important solution, of course, is the election, is for people to get involved in the election and let their public officials know that they know this is going on and they're not going to tolerate it. The big challenge is getting the news to the American public because both Republicans and Democrats respond to this. This is not a Democratic issue. No, Republicans want clean air for their children, too, and clean water and enriching landscapes. And when they find out this happens, and I speak to Republican groups across the country, and I get very, very strong responses from them, everybody is angry about this. The problem is we're not being informed. And the most important thing that we really need to do is to restore the fairness doctrine in our country so that our news media begins to behave responsibly and becomes again the forum for our democracy rather than just, you know, a marketplace for commerce. We've got to, they've got to start informing the American public that these political policies on Capitol Hill that are emanating from the White House are having catastrophic impacts on quality of life in our country and that nobody wants.
This is Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. We're going to go away for a moment so we can come back for a couple more when the Paula Gordon Show be with us.